Thanks, Lori, for really encouraging us with that. Did I forget the power? We're good? Yes. Ha. Oh. Yeah? Okay, great. Very encouraging. I don't know how Joanna can focus on playing the piano right now. All right. Folks, it's going to happen. October 22nd. Rosa's husband has a release date. He's coming home. And like Rosa said, God works. It's always for free. Amen. They spent exactly $0. God sent them home. And speaking of going home, we need to be, it was already announced, but we need to have Joelle in our prayers because, 11 o'clock last night, she got a call. Her best friend's father died. He just flat up died. He's like 48, 49 years old. He's in the church. He's been a Christian for a year. But you can imagine Joelle's pretty broken up about that. You can probably imagine that. So let's please have her in our prayers. Okay, so can we start the PowerPoint? Great. So there's one of our stars up there, Stella. All right. And so remember, We do a lot of stuff with Hope, but there's a project we want to kind of focus in on, which is helping developmentally disabled children and their families. So we had our little kickoff thing on Saturday, and we were helping the kids, and here's some cute little kids getting help. And I wish you could have seen the video. It was great, but here's Joelle. It was great. She did this really complicated dance routine, like Mike was saying. And I'm telling you, these folks picked it up right away. It was really, really great. But don't forget, the second Saturday in every month, we're going to be doing the Hope Dance. What's the exact name of it? Dance Academy, all right? And please be considering ways you can take part in that. All right, so we've been doing a series of lessons on being in Christ. And like we said, the most common designation of a saved person in the Bible is one who is in Christ. So we're basically spending some time thinking about the wonderful, amazing, incredible things we have in Christ. And we saw that all of us were outside of Christ at one time. We were outside of Christ. But then we were baptized into Christ, and we were clothed with Christ. We did our Bible study on campus Thursday this week. We've been doing a series on the bare necessities, all right? And so Josh has done some on water and food and shelter, but we did one on clothing, and clothing is a bare necessity. Get the joke? It's a bare. Yeah, it's kind of a joke there. But we just talked. We went to the marriage banquet, and there was that guy who was at the banquet, and the leader of the banquet said, "Hey, kick him out. He's got the wrong clothes on." And the guy was shocked. He had no idea he didn't have the right clothes on. And we were asking, "Who was this guy?" Trying to make the modern application. This guy is a person who was sure he was a Christian, but he wasn't. So then we turned to Galatians 3:26, and I didn't say it, I just asked him. So what were the clothes that he wasn't wearing? And the visitor said he wasn't wearing Christ. Okay, and when do we put on Christ? When we're baptized. Well, okay, but when we're baptized into Christ. All right, so we talked about some of the things we have in Christ. We have redemption in Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. We're made righteous in Christ. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You are alive in Christ. Outside of Christ, you were dead. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4, you were dead in your sins, but God made you alive in Christ. We're a new creation in Christ. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. All that, of course, is assuming that you're indeed in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ, all right? If you have not been baptized into Christ, the things we're talking about are things you can only hope for. All right, so point number 7 of the things we have in Christ. Okay, whoops. 7, 8, 9. Oh, what happened there? No problem. Okay. So in Christ, you are chosen of God. In Christ, we're all children of God, and we have secure love of God in Christ. So the first point then is, we are chosen in Christ. You know, it's been 50 years, but I can still remember high school, and they're picking the baseball team. You know, I'm out there in PE class. And then, you know, you get the captains, right? And they had the kids. They shouldn't have done this. They should have just 1-2, 1-2. It's cruel, terrible. That's what they did. So they had the two, they choose the awesome jock types to be the captains. And then, you know, and I'm sitting there like, you know what I'm saying? And then there's an odd number of people, you know, and it's down to one, and it's me. And the captain's like, Oaks, you're on my team. Ouch. I don't know. Now, some of you, Josh never had that happen to him. Anton never had it happen to him either. No, these guys, they're picked first. But I remember what it's like. Even worse, though, is we had square dancing. That was worse. Because what they would do is they would have girls go out in groups of four. All right, and then they have the guys go out and pick their partners. Oh, whoa. Those teachers should have been arrested. Because you know what happened, right? There's that one or two girls standing there, and there's a couple guys left, and they're like, I'm not going to partner with her. Right? Yeah, that's pretty tough. You know, all of us want to be chosen. We want desperately to belong. We want to be noticed, and not for our deficiencies, right? Yes. I remember, you know, moms, you know what it's like? The kid is, they're whatever, they're swimming, or Mom, look, you know, look, Mom! And Mom's reading a book, look, Mom, look, right? Remember that? That's what we did. Because the kid just wants to be noticed. I was talking to a student on campus this week. And she said, you know, I feel empty. She said, I've had these thoughts. You know what we're talking about, right? She said, I just don't feel like I belong. That's what she said. You know, and then another example is women who stay with abusive men. Why? You know, why in the world would a woman stay with an abusive man? And yet they do. Why is that? Because they need to feel that somebody loves them. And this guy, although he beats me and abuses me, he chose me. And that's kind of sick to think about and sad. But all of us have this need. We need to feel special. But guess what? In Christ, God has chosen us. It says in Ephesians 1:4, this is such a beautiful, let's read it together. It's right up there on the screen, but I'm going to pretend it's not, because I just feel like opening up my Bible. I don't know. Ephesians 1, verse 4, this is a beautiful thing. It says here, for he chose us. It's like the baseball game, right? And you're the first one picked. He looked at the crowd and he said, I want her. I want him to be on my team. For he chose us in him, in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have been chosen. In fact, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's what God did. He wants you on his team. He was looking at all the best possible teammates, the ones with the best batting average, the ones with the best dance moves, I guess. I don't know. How do guys pick square dance partners? Sheer good looks. That's the only thing that matters, probably. Guys, let's just be honest about it, okay? But he looked at all the prospective dance partners, and if you were baptized into Christ, he picked you. He chose you. It's a beautiful thing. You are chosen, not frozen. That just rhymed. That has nothing to do. I don't know. I just chose. That doesn't really mean anything. I just sounds like a good poetry. You know, and it says that in Ephesians passage, he chose you before the foundation of the earth, before he created the universe. He picked you to be on his team. That's how he feels about you. That's why women don't stay with abusive husbands. Don't do that. Because you have a Father in heaven who's chosen you. Ephesians 1, 11 through 13. Just go across the page. In him. Remember, all of this is where? In him. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purposes of his will. No, God's not going, ah. Like the team captain did when they had to be, ah. All right, we'll take Oaks. I remember, I think I was in fourth grade or fifth grade. I can't remember. My dad was my baseball coach. And one year I batted zero. I batted zero. They put me in as a pinch runner one time because they felt so bad for me. And I got hit by the ball and I was out, was running to second. All right. In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You are included. You are God's MVP. And I'm not kidding. You are God's MVP. So God says, I want you on my team, Alan. He's picked you. Amen. And you're going to bat 1,000 on his team as far as he's concerned. And God's chosen you, Vanessa, to be his square dance partner. I don't know how that works exactly. I'm not sure. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Listen to this. It says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared a work specifically for you to do. He's got you on his team, and he's got a place for you, and the place he had for you was designed specifically for you, for the talents you have. Being out there yesterday at the carnival, I mean, Mike Mackey, he is talented. I mean, we're sitting there, the other three, you know, Joel and I were thinking, Mike, he's out of himself, this guy. He was our promoter. We're just doing the art stuff. We're doing the art stuff. We're doing a great job. And Mike's out there, he's going to the people, and he's giving, God has given you a work. And he's given you the gifts to be able to do it. He has a place for you on the team. Whether it's cleanup hitter, I don't normally use sports analogies. If my daughter heard this lesson, she would give me a hard time. She says, Dad, you need to use shopping analogies at least as often as you use sports analogies. If you have it equal, you're okay. Is it shopping analogies, Jan? What is it? I can't remember. It's some female thing, whatever. All right. You know what? God valued you even when you're outside of Christ. Even before you were in Christ. He still wanted you on the team. But you said, nah, not interested. It's like the lost son, right? The lost son. The father wanted him on that team. He had a place for him. There on that family farm or whatever. And the lost son walked away. And if we walk away from that chosen role, then we're going to end up in the pig pen. But even in the pig pens, God sees us with the pig stuff all over us. And, you know, when he returned to his father, he lost no value. He valued him equally as if he'd never left. If you're outside of Christ, then let's face it, you're sitting in a pig pen. But God is waiting for you because he's chosen you. Jeremiah 2, verse 5. Jeremiah 2, verse 5. It says, this is what the Lord says. What fault did you, your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. If you're outside of Christ, you're worthless, not in that fact that he doesn't value you. Oh, he values you. He so much values you. It's just that he can't use you and you become worthless to him. Because you're not on the team. But the good news is, you can just turn around, get out of that pig pen, and get back on the team. And God's going to welcome you with open arms. That picture of the lost son is one, my favorite. I believe it's in St. Petersburg. Got to see that picture. So, again, when we look at the different things we have in Christ, I like to end each of them by giving you a challenge. So, challenge is, if you've been straying from him, you just need to flat up get back and return to him and let him choose you again. God wants to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. But if you're in Christ, amen, then we just need to revel in the fact that God has chosen us. And we live a chosen life, one dedicated to pleasing and serving him. So let's take up that role, that work that he's given us, and let's do it. Okay, the next point is that we're children of God in Christ. You know, I was looking for an image to put up on the PowerPoint, and, you know, God is the Father. But I thought, I mean, as much as the qualities of a father apply, the qualities of a mother apply to God as well. God does not exactly have gender, right? Right? He's not male or female. So I thought, no, I'm going to use a female image. Because when I think of children, I don't know, I think of moms. What can I say? What human being loves you the most? Well, that's easy. That's easy. What human being loves you the most? What human would make the most sacrifice for you? Which kind of love is unconditional? You know, there's different kinds of love. There's romantic love. There's love of poetry. There's love of country. There's the love you have for a pet. There's the love that children have for their parents, that brothers and sisters have for each other. There's love of pizza. There's love of self. But the kind of love that's the best model for the love God has for us is the parent for a child. And you know what? I'm pretty sure your parents loved you, even when they screwed up super bad. Even some of you, honestly, your parents really kind of did a stinky job, honestly. But they loved you. They loved you. But you know what? Even if you had great mom and great dad, the love God has for you as His child is 10 times better. Galatians 3:26. I actually referred to this passage earlier in the sermon. Galatians 3:26. It says, "So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith." If you're in Christ, you're God's daughter or His son. And how precious is a daughter or a son to their father? Does that boy look like he feels safe? Do you feel like he's worried about whether his mom loves him? No, not at all. So God looks at you as like a proud father, a proud mother on whom He wants to lavish every possible blessing. When you come into Christ, you come into God's family. And you're not like a cousin. You're not like a niece. No, you're the firstborn son, the firstborn daughter. Isaiah 49:15. Let's read that one. Maybe it's up here. Yeah, oh, it's right there on the screen. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget," God says, "I will never forget you." He says, would a mother forget the baby at her womb? You know, it might actually happen. It could actually happen. You know, maybe, I don't know, one day mother's baby, breastfeeding their baby, and she forgets. I don't know. I've had the situation where I'm like, you know, man, where's my cell phone? You know, where? Man, I can't find it. You know, it's possible. Could a mother forget the baby at her breast? Maybe it could happen. Maybe it could happen. All right. The later you're saying impossible. All right? Impossible. But God will never forget His child. You know, I already referred to the story of the lost son. And what's interesting is what the father says to the son who stayed behind in Luke 15:31. He said, "My son, you're always with me and everything I have is yours." Think about that. Because we're God's children, everything we have, He has, is ours. We get the house. We get the inheritance. And what's interesting is God has adopted us. Now, here's an interesting question. Which child is loved more, the natural born child or the adopted child? By the way, I have no answer to that question. That's an impossible question to answer. I'm asking that just to get you thinking. Just to get you thinking about it. Because there is no answer to that question. Yeah, right, yes. But there's one thing about an adopted child is that child was chosen. You know, my parents didn't actually pick me. You know? They did what mom and dad do, and I'm the result. You know, for our third child, or was it our first? One of them, it wasn't planned. I don't know, Ben, or, I don't know, I'm messing up the story. All right, whatever. You know, all right. Some of us are an accident. And genetically, we're certainly an accident. You know, 50%, 50%. But God, He went to the adoption agency and He said, "I want that one to be my child. That one is going to be my child." And I've not been adopted and neither have I adopted, so I can't explain the emotion of that. But I'm sure there's a specialness of having been chosen as God's children. All right? We already read it in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. He predestined us to be adopted to a sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. All right, Ephesians 2, yes, 11 and 13. Let's read that. Ephesians 2, 11 and through 13. It says, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. That was you outside of Christ. That was you outside of Christ. Without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. If you are in Christ, you have been adopted. Verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. That's pretty amazing. Outside of Christ, you were a foreigner. You were other. You were an estranged alien. But in Christ, you get the household. He's like handed you the keys. Amazing. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Like I said, we get the house and we get everything in the house. If you've been adopted as God's son, your future is established. Your inheritance is assured. You are God's chosen one, his child. All right, so we end each of our little things we have in Christ with a challenge. And here's my challenge. You know, when you're part of a household, being in a household comes with benefits and obligations, right? Lori's looking at Joseph. Are you reminding him of the obligations or the benefits? Both. Both. I mean, and some of us, we're a little bit more excited about the benefits than the obligations. But you know what? If you're part of God's house, then you got some brothers and sisters here, and if they're in need, then you're obligated. Okay, got it? Right now, Joel needs our love and support, right? Amen. And right now, we got a couple people who are kind of nervous and stressed out a little bit. I heard about it. All right, well then, you need to find a way to help out. All right? So with the privileges of being in God's household, there's some responsibilities. All right, and I could give a whole sermon on that. I'm not planning on doing that, but I want to just think about it. What are the obligations? I think a lot of obligations come with that. And, you know, being God's child is pretty great. But you know what? If you and I are in the same household, that means I need to have your back. You know, that's just the way brothers and sisters, there you go. That's the way brothers and sisters are, right? If somebody is beating up somebody else at school, it's like, okay, whatever. But if your brother or sister is getting beaten up, you're going to get between them, right? Yeah. I hope so. I hope so. You know? Rose's husband's been in a little bit of trouble. We're working for him, right? I've been writing letters. You've been praying. Amen. Yes. So, yeah, great, great privilege. I mean, being chosen as God's son or daughter, chosen child, it's a beautiful thing. But you know what? They're obligations. And let us not duck those obligations. Third point, last point for today, and number 9, I guess, in our outline, is we have secure love in Christ. And like I said, in the last few weeks, we've been doing this series on campus about the bare necessities. And one of the things we haven't done yet, so Josh, you might want to do that this week. One of the basic necessities of life is security. Security. And, you know, if you pay attention to the news, the people, things going on in Syria, things going on in Afghanistan, in Congo, in places like that, and when they talk to these people caught up in these situations, the thing they ask for first is not food, often. It's not water. It's not even shelter, necessarily. What they want is security. If a government cannot offer security to its people, then that government forfeits the right to be their government. We need security. We need safety. Like I said, it's one of the bare necessities. If you're living in fear, then you're really not living at all. Fear paralyzes us. You cannot have a real life in a war-torn area. It's quite literally impossible to have any kind of real life in a war-torn area. And as Americans, we have no idea what I'm talking about, honestly. We have no idea. All we can say is, yeah, I heard about that. I guess I believe it's true, but we don't know what I'm talking about, right? Those of us who are in Christ have the greatest kind of secure love possible. We have security based on the promised love of our Creator. This one's for you, Blaine. Yeah. So you are a safety officer. Is that basically what you are, as a safety officer, more or less? No? I thought you were. You talk about safety a lot. All right, yeah. Era, that company, whatever you think about that company, they care about safety. They are like crazy about safety. All right, and I just bet that their accident record is very low. Probably so. All right, amen. You know, Era Energy. We give a shout out for Era Energy. All right, yes. All right, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Let's read that one there. You know, the Bible says to give credit where credit's due. And there do some credit on that one. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Listen to this. We have a love that is so secure, so that the vicissitudes, that's a great word, vicissitudes. The vicissitudes of life, they don't have to get to us. It says here, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, or any powers, height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. That is where? In Christ Jesus. Where do we find the love of God? In Christ Jesus. What are the things we fear? Well, there's the list right there. That's it. That's what we fear. And he says, because of Christ, we don't need to fear those things. Where is the love of Christ? God found in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest source of security possible. Amen. Talk about an insurance policy. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if you have peace, then you have security and safety. Even death cannot take us from the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Even death. What do we fear? Well, one thing we fear is death, obviously. And you know, I think it's more like the fear of how we might die than the actual death itself. Right. But in Christ, we don't need to fear death. You know, Joelle is understandably really, really upset right now. You can imagine how she was last night. But, you know, as we kind of go through it, I'm sure there's going to be a memorial service. But this is the death of somebody who's in Christ. It's different. We have confidence We know where he or she is. What terrifies you? Everybody is different. You fear rejection. You fear somebody loving somebody else other than you. Maybe you fear losing a job. Maybe you fear getting a disease that makes it unable to do the things you love, whatever it is. He says, neither death nor life, angels or demons, even demons cannot take us away from the love of Christ, the forces of evil in the world. And there's evil out there. Oh, there's evil out there. But that cannot separate you from the love of Christ that is in Christ, love of God that's in Christ Jesus. One of the things we fear is our past. You see, how could we fear our past? Well, we fear that we can't escape our past. We fear that our past controls our future. But I'm telling you, in Christ, it doesn't need to be that way. Amen, Oscar? We don't need to fear the past. We can put it behind. Because we have the secure love of Jesus Christ. Others of us fear the future. And to some extent, the unknown is always kind of scary. It's like you're in a dark room, a totally dark room, and you hear this little sound, and you're like, oh, you know. And then you turn on the light. It's just a piece of paper rustling around. Oh, what an idiot. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a fool. Right? But that's what it's like outside of Christ. Because outside of Christ, you know, what stuff happens. And stuff happens and it's outside of our control. Well, in Christ, it's also out of our control. But guess what? It's in God's control. It's different. We do not need to fear the future. Some of you do fear the future. Let's be honest about it. And I'm not here to get on your case about that. But if you're in Christ, there is literally no reason to fear the future. Because God owns the future. Amen. He owns it. He's got it totally under control. Philippians 2. That'll be the last passage we read today. I want us to see Paul's attitude about the future. We did this in our singles devotional last Saturday. Philippians 1. And we did something from Philippians during our all-night prayer on Friday night. Philippians 1, 21 through 26. By the way, if you missed the all-night prayer, you missed some awesome breakfast. Oh, man, those blueberry pancakes, they were killer. They were killer. So you should have stayed, I'm telling you. Darius was there, right? And his record was 2:30 in the morning. He fell asleep at 2:25, poor Darius. That's right. Philippians 1, 21 through 26 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen to that. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And when Paul says that, he's not kidding. He's not just throwing out words because that's what you're supposed to say. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, it will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to part and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me. You know, and if you go back, you have to understand, he's writing this from prison. All right? And he said, it's cool. Read about it. I'm glad I'm in prison because I get to preach the word here. All right? Secure love. Paul felt secure love, so being in prison was not a big deal for him. And he says, you know, some people are preaching Christ out of envy. Others, because of love of God, he says, I'm not even worried about that. Because I have the secure love. And you get the sense, Paul says, basically he says, God is bringing to completion the work he began in you. And how's it gonna do it? I don't know. In what way? Do you have 30 more years, or are you going to die tomorrow? I don't know. All I know is we have the secure love of God in Christ Jesus. What keeps us going? What keeps us going in life? It's the knowledge that someone loves us. That's why we can put one foot in front of the other every single day. Because we know that someone loves us. Otherwise, I don't know what we do. That's that girl on campus. She was just sharing to me, you know, John, I don't know what to do. And I told her, what you need to do is you need to, you know, find a church that's going to take care of you and love you. You know, your father, if he heard about the bullies taking you on in school, just don't let him find those bullies, because it's not a good thing what might happen to those bullies, right? Who's going to love you no matter what? Simply for what and who you are. Guess what? That is God. So we have to have a challenge, right? We're chosen. Therefore, you need to live a chosen life. We're in God's family, therefore, privileges and responsibilities. And we have a secure love in God. Now, if God has given us great security, then we should do scary things. That's what I think. That's my challenge. What have you done that's scary? Because if you have a secure love in Christ, then you can do stuff that other people would say, you shouldn't do that. That's crazy. Jen and I kind of did that coming up here. You know what I'm saying? That was a bad decision. I mean, it's a great decision, but you know, it was a bad decision. Mm-hmm. We just changed careers at 64 years old. You know, I never led a church. I don't really know how to lead a church. I keep asking, you know, Blaine and Eve. So how do we do this? Because they've been doing it, kind of. You know, I haven't been. All right. If we have an incredibly secure home, then shouldn't we sort of lean on that? Shouldn't we be willing to sort of step out on faith? Like, how about inviting 20 people to the chili cook-off this week? Oh, that's scary. Oh, my goodness. I'm joking. But for some of us, honestly, we have sharing our faith PTSD. Some of you, if you've been around for 30 years, you have faith-sharing PTSD. I get it. So I'm joking about that, but it's real. It's real. Jeremy said, I get that. You know, I remember knocking on doors and knocking on doors and knocking on doors. Yeah. But, you know, maybe you should go out and knock on doors in your neighborhood and invite them to the chili cook-off. You know, the worst that could happen is they'll pull out their shotgun and shoot you and send you to heaven. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't think so. What is the security you have in Christ allowing you to do? I just want to throw that out there as a challenge. Do something scary. Why not? It's like bungee cord jumping. You got all this harness and all this kind of stuff. It's a little scary, bungee cord jumping. For my 60th birthday, I jumped out of a plane at 11,000 feet. Wow. Yeah, that's a little scary. You know, but they had all this harness and all this stuff. And the, you know, how about having this parachute? It's called God. Amen. So that's my challenge to you. Let's step out on faith a little bit. You know, we have some amazing things in Christ. In Christ, you have been chosen. God put you on His team. He picked you first. You're the one He wants to choose in His square dance, if you're a sister. And you're the one He wants to have bat cleanup in His baseball lineup. And you're His child, His son, or His daughter, the one He cherishes, like a mother with her, you know, breastfeeding baby.
That's how God feels for you. We have a secure love in Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I mean, I can pretty much relate.